shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And truth being our bitch on this show, we were going to have Rudy Canoza to host the show tonight, but things just started so quickly that I couldn't get out of here fast enough, and Rudy couldn't get in here quick enough, so...
And you did promote it.
I did promote it. So, Rudy, hold on, okay? What? I'm going to hold on. Rudy will be in here at a quarter after the hour. And at that time, Rudy Canoza will be guest hosting the program because we do have some, we have something some business to take care of.
What is it, we or I?
I say we so that it doesn't sound egotistical.
Yeah, but I mean, you say we what?
I don't, never mind about what we, I said we because it's...
It is a device that is used when people don't want to sound, as Phil said, egotistical or... All stuck up.
Yes, I don't want to sound all stuck up.
Yeah. Well, okay, but I just said we.
I know what I said, bud, and if you try to confuse me, it only makes things worse on me and you. By the way, we screened a film before the show tonight on Phil TV and HD, the pre-show. What did you think of Diary of a Nudist, Margaret?
I thought that it was very interesting. It was very much a period piece. Are you laughing at me saying period piece?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a period piece. A period. You are such a child.
Bud, come on.
Well, I said it's a period piece.
So what? What she means is it was something that was distinctly from that era. When was it made?
It was made in 1961. I remember this film because Catherine Albright, who was, I was her protege. She was a producer, and she screened this for a group of us. And please hold your laughter and your guffaws, if you don't mind, Bud and Robert. But she had a film class for co-eds and screened this for us one night at her home in the Palisades.
All right, so I just, I don't mean...
Don't make an issue. It wasn't a lesbian scene, Phil.
Well, I mean, you're trying to tell us it is.
No, I'm not.
Well, then why'd you say don't make a scene out of it? Yeah, you led us down the garden path.
I'm not leading... You know, Bud, the only place I'll lead you is directly off about a 60-foot-high bluff. All right?
I would fall and die.
There we go. Now you're getting the message.
All right, come on. Just hold on. So you screened Diary of a Nudist...
Yeah, Phil, it's not some big piece of... It's not an expose. It was a co-ed film class that Catherine Newbite...
I thought you said her name was something else.
What?
Catherine or...
No, Catherine Newbell.
Yeah, Catherine Newbite.
No, I said Catherine Newbell.
I don't know who. All right, who is she?
She's a producer. She's dead now. But we were co-eds. There was about 20 of us. We were all in our sophomore year. I was at the University of Pennsylvania. And I came out for a film school, a sort of an internship in the summer. And we were invited to her home to screen Diary of a Nudist. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was fascinating. I was curious, as were the other girls. And later on, Catherine turned the lights on in the pool. No, it wasn't what you're thinking. And again, I have to warn people off of that. We discussed, we went for a swim, we had sandwiches. That was it, as far as I know. Now, I'm just speaking for myself.
All right, well, okay. So, you know, you're telling us not to think of it.
Yeah, you're telling them not to think, but it sounds like more. So you said as far as you know.
I don't know what the other girls decided to do.
All right, were you trying to tell me that this was a... Are you trying to say that this was a film class that was being conducted by an older woman and there were a bunch of you younger girls and then she turned the pool lights on and served sandwiches and you don't know what else happened, but it seemed okay to you?
I think that's what I just said. Boy, what a brain surgeon.
Well, Margaret, you know, you're the one saying, I don't know, don't think about lesbian. You brought the word up lesbian.
Because I know how you guys think. Don't ever be fooled. Don't ever think that I don't know how the three of you think. Don't ever think that I don't know the bucket of sewage that you marinate your brains in for at least a half hour before every show.
Well, that's...
Well, you know, Phil, I'm sorry. The truth hurts.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at? She's talking about you, too. All right, Phil Hendry Show. So anyway, Diary of a Nudist will be screened this weekend. Check out our website to... to get the times on the screening of Diary of a Nudist. It will be also a special screening because commentary from Harvey Weierman and his friend Hal Brick will be a part of that, right? Is that right, Robert?
Yeah, I think Hal Brick or Frank Gray, I don't know who.
All right, either Hal Brick or Frank Gray will be with Harvey as they do a special guest commentary on Diary of a Nudist this weekend on Phil TV. Check it out at philhenryshow.com. Other big news this weekend. I think this is probably the biggest piece of news that I've come across, and it may not seem that way to you, but in all honesty, we only...
No, do we like...
Well, I was going to say we only read stories that we're interested in, but yeah, we only do the things we like. Now, Ted Johnson, former New England Patriot linebacker. You remember Ted Johnson, a Southern guy, a Texas guy, a very, very good football player. Ted Johnson was quoted on the radio as commenting on Vince Wilfork's wife, calling her ugly. Bianca Wilfork was the target of unfair remarks by Ted Johnson, former New England Patriot linebacker. He stepped all over that line that you're not supposed to cross when he recently said on his Houston radio show that current Patriot lineman Vince Wilfork had the ugliest wife in the NFL. Now, obviously, that's a completely unacceptable series of comments. It doesn't surprise me that an amateur like Ted, and I say amateur, Mr. Johnson, with all due respect, but this is one of my wheelhouse topics. This is Phil Henry country here, okay?
Well, what do you mean?
What I mean is this. I'll keep saying this until I'm completely out of the radio business and the way things are going, you know, sooner rather than later. But I all I'm saying is, as a professional and as a professional of many, many years, I will constantly be jumping all over this topic. I jumped all over Brian Cox, a former middle linebacker of the Miami Dolphins. I'm not saying that I got the better of Mr. Cox. If you're listening, Brian, you know you're the man, okay? You're the man. On the football field, in the broadcast booth, you know who the man is.
You didn't say that about Brian Cox.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Of course I did. What, are you crazy? Are you trying to tell me that all the time, all the sweat, all the years that I've put in, that a lot of people have put in, I'm supposed to step aside for a football player who's got about 14 minutes worth of experience? I understand the guy's going to get the job. I'm not saying that. When I say step aside, I mean I'm going to, you know, step back and let him get on a red carpet. Ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. See, if I tried to be a football player, obviously it would be a joke. Now, it is more likely that an athlete can make a good broadcaster than it is a broadcaster can make a good athlete. But nonetheless, there are rules of the road. There are dues to be paid. There are a great many things to learn. This is a medium that if you want to take the time, and fewer people do want to take the time, but if you want to take the time, this is a medium that you can learn to master in a variety of different ways. That's if you want to take the time. A lot of people don't because they don't have the chops. A lot of people don't because they're scared to. A lot of people don't because they're too stupid. I mean, we got all kinds in this business, just like in any other business. A radio and television, but most importantly, radio. Radio caters these days to the amateur. Now, I just heard a prominent program director right here in Los Angeles. What's he looking for? He's looking for an afternoon drive show. And what does he want? He wants a name. Not a radio name. He wants some Hollywood name. So if there's anybody listening who's a Hollywood name, you know.
Well, I know some people.
Well, that's great, Margaret. Why don't you go ahead and take a job from some guy?
That's the point. I want to give a job to the Hollywood guy.
I know people that are... People would flock to the radio to listen to them.
Give me a name.
I'm not at liberty.
Just come on. Give me one name.
I'm not at liberty. I don't want... I wanted to, and I thought about it, and no, I won't.
Well, you don't want to say.
No, I don't. All right, Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin has a radio show in New York.
Yes, I know, but he would much rather be on the air in Los Angeles. Thank you.
Well, whatever. I mean, the point that I'm trying to make here is when you put an amateur on the air, and I don't give a damn if he is a well-known amateur, like Ted Johnson. He's a football player. He used to be a football player, and he can talk X's and O's and can talk sports. But when you ask the guy to freelance, which is what you need to get ratings, sooner or later, man, that's what you got to have because it sets the shows apart. Everybody can X and O. Everybody can talk X's and O's. Everybody can sit there and talk about, you know, what the team has to do this Sunday to win the game. But when you get right down to it, you have to have those intangibles. It's called personality. It's called style. It's called chops. It's called, you know, broadcasting. This is why Rome is the best known and probably the most listened to sports radio host in America. You think he knows more about the X's and O's? There's guys that know 50 times more than he does. He's got broadcasting chops. He's got a style, you see? So Ted Johnson comes along as a guy as a linebacker, great. Played football, great. New England Patriots, fantastic. Does he know how to do a show? No. Is he going to get himself sued? Yes. Is he probably going to get fired? Probably. I don't know. You know, I mean, look, the way these guys are, how nervous these jackballs are, Johnson will be happy if he lasts another week in that gig. The way these general managers and program directors are these days, I mean, they are crapping green bricks.
What a visual.
I'm telling you. All right, we'll come back with more of this. And Rudy Canoza, I should say, is up next. Right, Rudy, you ready to go?
I'm ready, yeah.
Rudy Canoza, guest hosting. I'm going to go in the back and do some meditating, make my, you know, attend to my still, because we're still working on that brew. And then I've got to take it overland by truck. I can't get into it, but we've got a big delivery to make tonight by midnight. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Rudy Canoza. And a very good evening to you. This is Rudy Canoza, and I want to thank my very good friend, Phil Hendry, who has allowed me to come in and to be the guest host this evening. This, for me, is a great honor, and thank you very much, Phil. I'm so sorry. Wherever you are, I know that Phil is now is left to go and to look after the homebrew that he has at his home in the beach, is not too far from here, and it's about the 3 blocks. And he has a homebrew where he does this kind of, what you say, is a homebrew, like a moonshine, you know, and he is looking after that. I asked him, Phil, is it all right, I say, and he says, I don't care. So he knows that if he has a homebrew, that here in California, that there's not a police looking for the homebrew. Unlike if you live in some parts of America, there's a homebrew, there's the moonshine, and they have a revenue and the alcohol, tobacco, and firearm. These are the people, what they call the revenue. I know a lot about American history, and it's very, you have a great country. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to say to you tonight, you have a great country. I travel to America as much as I can. I do great business here. Most of my business is import-export. And I also own Je T'aime Lingerie, which is located in Sherman Oaks, California. I feel that I am very fortunate to have my company and the business that I do. I am very fortunate to have it here in America, because I would never want to be anywhere but America to make my friends and to do my business. I love my country, which is Argentina, and I've seen my country come through so much, and I believe Argentina with a great future. And today, of course, my countrymen and I as well, we celebrate the fact that the Holy Father, the Catholic Church, is from Argentina. This is such a very, very proud moment for every Argentinian. But my travels take me, and fortunately my travels take me to this great country, America, for which I would die. And I'm not even an American citizen, but I would die for America. That's how much I love it here. I would lay my life down for this great land, because I know that without America, there's nothing. Without America, there is desolation. There is loneliness and sadness, and there is a bleak future, a bleak landscape. Imagine the world without an America. A bleak place. A road to nowhere. It was America that gives us the future. So I'm very proud, and I don't want to go on and on. My name is Rudy Canoza, and I am filling in here on the Phil Henry Show, PHIL. I want to get the name because this is my friend. And I know Phil for now 12 years. I met Phil at the Pier 1 Imports. Then I was there with ashtrays that I had some things for the house, and I was selling some ashtray. I had a different, you call a knick-knack. Knick-knack, you know. And I was selling to Pier 1 and to IKEA and the different places, ashtrays, I don't know, sushi dishes and candlestick, you know, and I had the fold-out futon. How many of you remember the futon, huh? Huh? You remember the futon, don't you? You remember the futon, huh? And that was the bed. This was 20 years ago. I sold the futon. Huh? Me, Rudy Canoza, yes. I'm not saying that I was the only one, but I will say that I'm one of the few that put the futon on the map in America. Huh? I'm very, very proud of that. Very, very proud of that. And all the guys, lots of guys who, I don't mean to laugh, but lots of guys who got kicked out by their wife, you know, she found him doing whatever he was doing. She throw him in the street. He's a man, he's thrown in the street by his wife. He's thrown in the street. Living like an animal. He has no wife, no family. Why? Because he was behaving improperly with another woman. And who is she? Some woman he might have met in a mini mart. You know, she's behind the counter. And she has a face, you know, no teeth, the front, you know, but hey, from the neck down, hey. Ha ha. Marone, you know, there's the Italian say, it's a Marona, you know. Oh, she's beautiful, you know, when you look at a woman like that. And this happened to Rudy. This happened to Rudy. My wife, she threw me out because I had a weak moment. I met this woman at the Department of Motor Vehicle. This was in Orlando, Florida. And I was there on import-export business for my company. I saw this woman. She was from the neck up, it was rough. Wow.
Woo!
I think of it, it was just rough. But from the neck down, she was magnificent. In every way, she must have been 70. I am not kidding. You believe? I know there's men listening to me now. They don't believe me, but I know that you know that I'm not lying. You must know that I am not lying. I tell you the truth. I saw this woman. She looked good. And I said, my God, I must have this. There's no way you could keep me away from something like this. 70 years of age, from the neck up. You know, have you ever done, if you saw a face at the window in the middle of the night, you woke up and you look at the face, you go, yeah, like that, you know, that's what I did. She turned around and said, may I help you? And I said, forgive me, but, God, like that, you know. But then she turned around, she said, well, let me help someone else and I'll be right. And I went, my God, she's magnificent. That's what I said. That's what Rudy says, you know. So, when I met this woman, and yes, of course I did. You must, every man must. If you meet a woman like that, and she has the body like that, especially a butt like that, you must take her to bed. There is no doubt. Rudy took her to bed, as Rudy will. See, when Rudy sees a woman like this, and Rudy, he wishes to be faithful to his wife, but what is a man to do, especially if he is Rudy? If you are me, and you see this, of course you must take the woman to the bed. And my wife found out about this, and she said, Rudy, I'll never forget her words. She said, you shag your ass out onto the pavement. I said, my love, she said, no, you take it out on the pavement. Get it on the pavement now. I said, you mean the street? She said, no, the pavement. The street is too good for you. Onto the pavement. You understand what this means when your wife says this to you. And so that is where I went. And I met this young lady. I said to her, you know, even from the neck up, man, I can't do it, man. But I knew I had to do some work. to entice her into my life. So I said to her, the Argentinian way, and I will speak more about this later. I said to her, "Ala, la 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 la." And she looked at me and she said, "Ah, Rudy. Every woman will do. I'll be right back." This is Rudy Canosa filling in for Phil Henry here tonight here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Rudy. That's what she said.
What is your name?
My name is Morikeba Kouyaté.
Ah.
And I'm from Senegal.
Phil Henry.
Oh. I love that music. That is from my country, and a very, very warm welcome to you. This is Rudy Canosa filling in on the Phil Henry program. Can you hear that? You hear the music, you hear this drum, that nylon string is beautiful, and I want to thank Jesse for finding for me, you know, the music of my homeland. Ah, yes. I also wanted to play tonight, if I can, we'll find some Brazilian Mother South American music, which is, and the reason why is a lot of times people will say, Rudy, you are successful with a woman. The women will come to you and they will lay with you. And I say to them, this is true. Rudy is successful with the women. And many times the woman, she comes to me, she lays with me. But I never, ever disrespect the woman. Never. Never. Don't you ever disrespect your woman. A woman you disrespect is a woman that you have made an enemy of. You make an enemy of a woman, you've made an enemy of a witch, and you make an enemy of a witch, you die, and you die, and you burn. You go to hell. You go to the hell that every culture, every religion, our ancestors speak of hell. The hell that you are sent to is the hell that you are not sent to by God. You're not sent to the hell by the God or by the angels. You're not sent to hell by man. You are sent to hell by the woman. It's the woman that sends you to hell. Because it is only the woman that has the power, only the woman that has the power to send a man straight to hell. And I have been in that hell. Believe me when I tell you. So you treat the woman with respect, you beginning with your mother, and then with your sisters, and with your aunts, and with the cousins, and your family. And then you extend your respect out to the women that you meet in the world and the women that one day might be, if you're lucky, to be the wife and to be the mother of your children. You must respect. And Rudy had no respect. Rudy wound up in the street. I wound up in the street with this woman I met at the Department of Motor Vehicle. Yes, I took her to my bed. And perhaps for one, for two, for three, for five, even for 2 days. Or maybe even a week or 3 weeks. I had my fun. I had my kicks. I had my laughs. Rudy had his fun, but Rudy then paid. Rudy paid by going to hell. I was sent to hell by my wife. I think of her today, Rosanna. Oh, Rosanna. You remember the song, "All I Want to Do in the Middle of the Evening is Hold You Tight, Rosanna, Rosa." I used to think of that song, and then I was told that the song was written about Rosanna Arquette, and I thought, I couldn't go there, so I had to find another song. But let me tell you, before we get any further on in the story, that you're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and you must get the backstage pass. Now, in my culture, in my country, to say backstage pass, this is an intimacy between a man and a woman that I'm not going to, at this particular time, talk about, because I understand the cultural difference, and I know the modesty in American people. And my people, very modest people as well. Please don't get me wrong. The people of Argentina are very modest people, and the people have great high values and great respect for family, but we also know how to love. We know how to love. We have respect and we have modesty and we are a people who are a kind, but we also know how to love. We know how to love. So if you go to a backstage pass, you can see Phil TV which is the television that is on right now, and I'm looking at Rudy right now, as he is broadcast on the Phil TV in HD. Please do join us on Phil TV with your backstage pass. The other thing that they would like me to say is that this weekend they will repeat a showing of Diary of a Nudist. Did you see Diary of a Nudist? Diary of a Nudist. See, the nude for the Argentinian, this is something that is an everyday occurrence when there is so much love and passion. The nude is nothing. The nude means nothing. It is the love. But the Diary of a Nudist was showed tonight on Phil Henry TV, so you should get your backstage pass and watch Diary of a Nude. And that will be happening this weekend as well. Now, I want to go to something, and we were going to take some phone calls as well, because I understand that the talk radio, you know, you take the phone calls. And I wish very much to do this. But first, I want to give you my topic. And my topic is the topic of this man, Mr. Wilfork, that you heard my friend Phil Henry speak of, and this man, Ted Johnson. Ted Johnson, a middle linebacker. He's a football player. I don't know the sport the way Americans play it, but I do know the football sport as we play in South America and the rest of the world, as what you call soccer. That's what we call football. But I don't know this other game. But I do know the Americans, very important. But this big man, he says of the other man, he said, your wife, she looks like a pig. Do you know, in my culture, if a man said to another man, your wife, she reminds me of the face of a pig. Do you know that there is nothing that man has constructed? There are no earthworks. There is no Maginot line. There's no Gothic line. There's no fortress, no castle, no moat. There's no Great Wall of China. There's no Hadrian's Wall. There's no fortification, no fixed fortification the man has ever conceived of or man has ever built that would ever keep me away from the man who called my wife a pig. I would go through anything. I would go through concrete, steel, iron to get to the man. Because a man calls my wife a pig, I know who he is. You know my name. Rudy. Knud. You call my woman a pig, you know my name. Like the song, the James Bond, you see. If you take a ride... Anyway, I don't know. I don't care. To hell with it. To hell with it. But what happened was that Ted Johnson, the man is Vince. His wife is Bianca. And that was another mistake. He said, this man that Vince Wilfork is married to, oh, yes, sure, it's a woman, but this man, Bianca... She looks to me, for all the world, like a sow. Like nothing more. Can you imagine this? That a man would say this about your wife, that she looks nothing more to me than a blue ribbon winning, prize winning sow. Nothing could keep me from that man. And I am not speaking in a whimsical way either. If there are people who would say, oh, Rudy, you sound like you're attracted to him. You're, no, okay, I'll show you how attracted I am to him. I'll show you how attracted I am to a man like that when he loses his head. The guidelines of respect between a man, another man, and that man's woman should never be overstepped. Otherwise you die. I think I speak for a great many men when I say this. You never disrespect a man's wife. I predict, Rudy predicts, and this is only my prediction. I don't know American culture, but I think that Vince Wilfork is going to find this man, Ted Johnson, and sit on him. He's going to flatten him. He's going to create such mayhem in the spinal column, in the lower back, in the knees, in the elbows. I don't know what is left of this man that could actually move. I don't know if he's walking around in metal crutches or what, but this man, Ted Johnson, only thing left of him will be his Johnson. Ted Johnson. Now, we're going to take a phone call tonight. I'm so grateful to be with you. And we have a Vernon. Vernon, I don't want you to come on this program because you and I know each other, and I'm very grateful you did, my friend.
Okay. How are you doing, Rudy?
I am very, very good. And my friend, thank you for coming on and being my first guest this evening.
Well, I'm very, very grateful to do that for you. And you were talking about wives. I've had a couple of them myself.
Yes, I know you've had two, and your first wife passed on, God rest her soul. What was her name?
Well, my first wife was Shirley, and my current wife is Stephanie, although sometimes I call her Amber. And
why do you call her Amber?
Well, I like the color Amber.
Ah, like the sun filters through the trees at the sunset there.
Yeah, well, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, it's like a glass of champagne. Yeah, a glass of champagne.
You love your wife, don't you?
I do. I love my wife very much, and as a lot of people know the story, Rudy, I met my wife when I was teaching her as a student at Belmar Academy.
She was a student of yours.
Was that?
She was a student of yours, your wife, Amber.
Yes, she was. And she was a senior. She was about the most beautiful thing that I'd ever laid my eyes on.
Ah, yes. Isn't that what the poetry...
It is.
Isn't that what the poetry is made of, to see a beautiful young lady? Now, how old were you at the time?
I was 57.
And she was how old?
She had just turned, she was 17.
Now, you know that you can't have a romance...
No, I know that.
It's not allowed to have the romance. You were 57, she was 17, so you were 40 when she was born.
Yes, I was 40.
And so you are old enough not just to be her father, but her grandfather.
Yeah, pretty much.
And 17, were you attracted to her, and I have to ask you this.
Yes.
Were you attracted to her sexually?
I didn't allow myself to, Rudy, and this is a very important point. I knew that she was beautiful, and I knew that I, right then and there, wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. And again, I was 57, I was 56. 57, she was 17, so she turned 18, and I was 58. And I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her, but I knew that any thought, any sexual thought, was absolutely wrong. And I asked God, because I'm a teacher at a private school, I asked God to help me, and God did help me. God gave me the means by which I could break myself of any impure thought. And as I think back on it now, of course, it was quite painful, but it was something that was worth it.
And you should say, because, you know, Vernon, I don't want you to relive anything that is horrible or something of a traumatic, but we have so many men listening tonight. And they fall in love, perhaps, with a younger woman, a girl. They know their sexual thought is impure.
Yes, sir, it certainly is.
And they wish to know how you kept from deflowering and despoiling and breaking the law.
I wouldn't do that.
But you kept your honor, did you not? And you kept her honor.
I did.
We want to find out what you did to be able to keep them down on the farm once they've seen Paris.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
All right, we're going to be right back here. That is my friend Vernon, and let's find out what he did as he fell in love with a young lady, a flower of the foothills of the California mountains. He fell in love with her, but yet, he kept his honor. He kept their honor. I'm Rudy Canoza, in for Phil Henry here, the real Phil Henry, the beautiful Phil Henry, the wonderful Phil Henry Show, and we will be right back here in PhilHenryShow.com. Listen to this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yes, dance around. Yes, dance. We all must dance.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Do you hear this? This is the music of my home country. I'm Rudy Canoza, and welcome back to the Phil Henry Show this evening. This is music, a beautiful acoustic guitar from my country of Argentina. I miss my home so many days. You must come to my country. I wish each and every one of you to come to visit the food and the beautiful women, and of course, such a beautiful country, the mountain ranges, and we have the snow. Only you must go south to get to the snow in my country, as opposed to, for instance, if you live here in America, you go north to Canada. That's not America, I know, but it's not America. It's Canada. Canada. And I have a great many friends in Canada, too. Done a lot of good business, made a lot of dollar, made a beautiful dollar in Canada. Lovely, lovely sealskin. Quote, I know, don't stop, don't say. I know a lot of you, but Do you know something? The seal man, this man, he is the seal man. I call him the seal man, but he's a man. And they take the seal, you know, and they make a beautiful coat. If you saw some of the jackets, some of the waist jackets, I've got a beautiful thing in seal that goes right to mid-calf for a man. So this is the man's trench coat made completely out of seal. You love it. You love it. Let me speak now. Let me speak of what is it? What the Lewis Carroll? It's time to speak of Cabbages and Kings, with my friend Vernon Dozier of, and we are talking, Vernon, here about your young wife Amber, how you met her.
That is correct, yeah.
And we're also going to talk about how you kept from having a carnal relations with an underage woman, because you met your wife Amber. She was 17.
Yes, she was 17, and she was a student of mine. And maybe I should have given her a sealskin coat. She might have.
If you had to give her a sealskin coat, she would have. Then for sure, you would have broken the law and been put in prison as a pederast or pedophile. So I don't want this to happen to you.
No, thank God I didn't. But I was thinking, as you described the sealskin, especially the mid calf sealskin. I'm an older man, but I think it might.
It would look wonderful on you. It would look wonderful on you. It would look wonderful because it is a stylish, I would call like a London fog cut. It belts in the middle made of, I should not say, but it is made of seal bone, the belt.
In other words, I'm not going to be making any friends with any women that are, animal lovers.
Well, I don't know. It all depends. If Rudy, and I want to tell my friends about this, if you're dating a woman who is PETA, she's a animal rights, and you're wearing a sealskin jacket, I can tell you, I can guarantee the romance for you. That is something, do you believe that?
That's hard to believe.
I can tell you right now, I can do it. I will give you my tips, Rudy's five-step plan for the romance with a woman who is an animal lover. Even if you pick her up for a night, a visit first to the zoo?
No way, I just want to be clear. You're telling me
right
that I can go out with a woman who's an animal rights activist and take her to the zoo wearing a sealskin coat?
That is exactly right.
And then where else?
Then you go, here's what you do. You take her to the zoo, you're wearing your sealskin coat, then you have a dinner of wild game.
Wild? You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I did this one night in New York City. I did it in New York City, one of my favorite cities in America. Only a city that's my more favorite city in America. I've got the views of Los Angeles. I love San Francisco. I love Miami. 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 Now tell me, Vernon.
Yes.
You have this 17-year-old woman.
Yes. Well, girl.
Girl. It's exactly right. It's a girl. And yet you see her as a flower. You see her as a flower to be picked. You are in love. You're in the purest kind of love, aren't you?
It was real love, Rudy. Absolutely. It was not carnal. I thought she was magical. I thought she, when I laid eyes on her, this is going to sound silly, but I felt I had a very bad eczema on my right arm, and I felt my, and I also and I battled my entire life, some acne, and I felt my face clear up.
You felt it. Did you say that again?
I felt when I looked at her and I felt the warmth and the beauty, I felt my face beginning to clear up. And I know it couldn't have been.
Did your face physically manifest a clearing? Did you see the zits, not the zits, but did you see the pimple?
I did. The next day I saw a visible clearing. And I had a can, not a bottle, but a can of Stridex medicated pads.
Do they still use those?
I had them, and I also had a bottle of Physahex that dries your skin up. It's like putting sulfuric acid on your skin because you already look bad with the acne. So how bad can it get? And you go ahead and just burn a layer of your face off, and that might have been one of the reasons why I didn't have acne the next day. But I'm pretty sure it was because just looking at her, I could feel one pimple for sure dry up, and maybe more.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
Yes.
Isn't that something what love can do? Now, you don't want to have sex with her. What did you do?
I put myself through the 12 trials. Bahamas. These are tried and true. My father used them when he decided to stop having sex with my mother shortly after the birth of my sister. And I put myself through the 12 traumas, and they are, you back a car over one of your hands, you spend at least half of a day in freezing water.
This is difficult for you to think, isn't it?
Oh, it's very traumatic.
Okay, go ahead, my friend. I'm with you. Rudy is with you.
The third of the 12 traumas is to catch anyone who can throw a fastball at least 90 miles an hour, catch his warm-ups nude. So in other words...
Are you barehanded?
No, you have a catcher's mitt, but the rest of you is stark naked, and he's throwing nothing but fastballs.
All right, that is the third trauma.
That is the third. The fourth trauma is similar. You are in goal against any National Hockey League, you know, player who's known as a big scorer, and you are in goal with pads, but nude, trying to stop his slap shots.
Okay, that is the fourth trauma, huh?
Yes.
I am going to have to let you go now.
Rudy's always great.
It is. And listen to the music of my country.
I love it. It's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful? Listen, listen. That is Argentina's calling you. Argentina is calling you.
And I may just answer that phone.
Be well, my friend.
Thank you very much, Rudy.
Be well. I'm Rudy Canosa. Please, be with me. We are going to investigate the other traumas of the 12 traumas right after this.